much for giving. Guys, I did. Pastor Richard's going to speak to us today. And I just wanted to brag on Pastor Richard. You guys love Pastor Richard? I mean, champ, when I was driving to church this morning,
come on, tell me.
I was excited because you are speaking. I love when you speak, champ.
That's so sweet. Makes me want to give you your birthday present early now.
Come on, champ. That's 2 months away. But I do. I love when you, Pastor Richard is such a great pastor. I mean, he's such a great encourager, but also he's such a great corrector too, man. This brother can correct you, and you don't even know you're being corrected. You walk out of his office, and you think to yourself, man, I just got rebuked and corrected, but I liked it. But, yeah, every time you preach, man, God really does use you in a marvelous way. Father, we thank you for Pastor Richard. God, we approach this message. You know, guys, sorry, I interrupted my own prayer, but as we approach this message here.
Hold on, God.
Hold on. Yeah. But here's what I'm going to pray for us, is that we should approach every message that, God, you're going to do something new. You're going to stir something afresh on the inside of me.
Good.
Holy Spirit lives inside of Pastor Richard. And Holy Spirit is going to minister directly to you in your situation. There is a reason why you're sitting at Bethel today. And it's to hear what God wants to say to you. So, Father, thank you for this man of God. Lord, minister through him today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give Pastor Richard another big hand clap. Come on.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you guys so much for being here today. Now, one of the things that is awesome is that you guys showed up today, and we are all going to hear the Word of God today. I know sometimes coming to church can be weird, especially if it's your first time, so thank you if it's your first time here today. One of the things that I want you guys or ask you guys to do before we get into the message is bring out your phone. And normally, we ask you to do this for a couple of reasons, but as Pastor Lance said, I really feel that this is going to hit us in the places that God wants to hit us today with these messages. And so I would behoove you. It would behoove. Is that how you say that? Behoove. Everybody say behoove. It would behoove you to take a few notes today because I believe it is life transforming as we preach the Word of God today. But also, if you have never went to our Facebook page or to our Instagram page, we would love for you to like us and follow us. Also, if this is your first time, we would love if you would rate us on Facebook. People from all over the planet check us out, and they actually read reviews of what you think about us. And one additional thing that is coming up soon that's not really a scheduled announcement, but on Saturday, June the 16th, one of my good friends is the pastor around the corner at Spring Creek Baptist Church. And he and I were talking the other day, and they have bought a food truck from Manna Cafe, and we are going to distribute it to 300 families in this community, in this general area. And so I want to ask if you guys, you can clap for that, people getting food. Praise God. Some people don't have that. And so he's asking us if we could contribute 25 volunteers. They have 25. And I said, sure, we'll see what we can do. So you can come and see me about that some point after the service today. And today we're going to be continuing our message series we began a couple of weeks ago called Faith to Live By. Faith to Live By. And we believe here at Bethel Community Church that hearing the preached word of God will help you grow in your faith. Do you believe that today? Yeah. That's why we suggest that you come to church every Sunday. That's why we suggest you go to things like Starting Point and community groups and getting your kids involved in everything that Bethel is doing. If you could open up your Bibles, if you use your digital Bible, you can use that. That is applicable today. You can use that. We're going to be in Luke chapter 4. I really only have three areas of scripture we're going to take a look at, but two are very much similar. We're going to be in Luke chapter 4, verse 24 through 28. I'm going to start off in Luke chapter 4. This is Jesus. He's talking to a group of haters. You might call them Pharisees and the like. Anybody know what haters are? Yeah. All right. So this is in Luke chapter 4. He says, "Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years. There was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath, in the region of Sidon. There were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet none of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. In verse 28, all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. We're going to kind of get into this in just a little bit. Today we're going to take a look at the faith that we need to go through anything and everything. Some of you guys are going through some stuff. I'm going to make this really easy if you are taking notes. We got three big points that we're going to hit today, and I'm just going to go ahead and lay those out for you. Really, and I'll break it down in just a second, but your story is part of a larger story. Sometimes we don't see the big picture that God has for us, but really he has a plan for everything in our life. So the first point is that God has a plan for you. I seriously, literally want you to take a note about this because I really believe that God will speak to you through this. First thing is that God has a plan for you. The second thing is that his plan for you is part of a bigger plan. His plan for you is part of a bigger plan. And the third thing is that his plan tells his story. His plan tells his story. See, God will use your story as part of a bigger story to tell his story. And if you break it down and you think about it, you could think that the struggle you have to pay your bills was just a struggle just for you and your family. But God has a purpose for that struggle that you're going through right now. You may have thought that that car problem that you had was just the enemy attacking you, but God has a plan for that. You may have thought that that disease or that cancer that may have shown up, what on earth was the purpose for that? But God has a plan for that. No matter what you have gone through or are currently going through, God has a reason. There is a purpose for it under the sun. We're going to take a look at that today. It's kind of like the secret of the kingdom of God. We're going to take a look at one of the little secrets in the kingdom of God. Jesus tells us in different parables in the New Testament, so this is a secret to the kingdom. It helps you to understand how God works. See, a lot of times we will get frustrated. We will get short in our attitude and angry. And we'll treat people and places around us. We'll get so frustrated because we don't understand really what God might be doing. But really, God has a plan and a purpose for it. And we're going to take a look at it. And it all comes down to faith. Everybody say faith. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. You need to memorize this. It's one of the easiest scripture in the world to memorize. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The NASB says the conviction of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the NIV said, now faith is the confidence. Yeah. The New King James Version says, now faith is the substance of things that are hoped for. And we're going to talk today about this issue of faith in God. And I believe that your faith will rise up to another level today. And you will begin to trust God, see how God operates in a completely different way today. And we're going to take a look at a group of people today that we often don't talk about at church, which is really in the near and dear to the heart of God. And that's the fact that God loves and cares for widows. He does. We see them popping up all through the Bible, the New Testament, the Old Testament speaks of widows in need and God's plan and his desire to care for them. And basically a widow, we know this, is someone who typically has no one to care for her. No one to husband her. And despite the fact that she may have, and we're going to see in our story today, that many people may be dependent upon her, she oftentimes has no one to depend on. And so God shows her that he does, in fact, love her and has a plan for her. And we're going to take a look at that today, the way that God takes care of a certain widow today. We're going to take a look at this simple story. It's in 1 Kings. You can turn your Bible over to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17. We'll set this up for you. We're going to look at this simple story in the Old Testament. It's going to give us faith today. This story took place over 2,700 years ago. But it's going to speak to us today in 2018. A lot of people say, well, the Bible's not relevant today. It's 2018. We don't need that. Well, we're going to see today that this is very relevant to us today. This simple story is going to, we'll unfold it, but it's part of a larger story. And the interesting thing about this widow that we're going to read, the larger story, most likely she is completely unaware of what's going on in the larger kingdom of God scheme of things. And it's relevant to us because we go through our own struggles. We go through stuff. And a lot of times we have no idea what God's doing. Anybody got any ever went through something like that? You're like, what is God up to? I have no idea what he's doing. I know he loves me. I know the Bible says he's good, but I've got no clue why this is laid on me. Well, we're going to see today that behind the scenes, God is always doing some stuff that you cannot see. See, Pastor Lance said last week that every financial decision is a spiritual decision. And we're going to see that come to life today. It may look like a regular problem that you have, but how we respond to problems is a spiritual matter. How we believe about a problem is spiritual. It's because on the spiritual level, it goes down to the things that you believe. And how we believe dictates how we respond in every situation. So we're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 17. And to set this up, there's this prophet named Elijah. See, the people of God had these people that were called to them by God called prophets. And he would go and he would speak what the Lord is saying to God's people. And this guy named Elijah, he came on the scene and God's people were acting a fool. There was a new king in town and his name was Ahab. Some of you guys may recognize he married a woman named Jezebel. Not a good decision. Please don't name your daughters that. People will laugh at them just like that. And he was notoriously one of the worst kings in the history of ancient Israel. And so Elijah, by God, called and prayed and said, Lord, shut up the rain. And it did not rain. Think about this. In the entire region, it did not rain for 3.5 years. And this was designed as a consequence to get God's people's attention. Sometimes it's not above God to try to get your attention. I've known people that went to the hospital bed, so that God could get their attention. I've known people on the brink of divorce and went through divorce so God could get their attention. God is not above allowing you to go through some levels of discomfort to get your attention. You didn't want to hear that this morning, did you? But it's the truth. It's the truth. And so Elijah comes and he says this prayer and the heavens were shut up and it didn't rain. And we see in 1 Kings chapter 17, then says in verse 8, we're going to look at verse 8 and read forward. It says, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon. I was preparing for this, and this is part of a teaching moment, but I wanted to teach it so bad it may turn into a preach. Because as you study your Bible, you're going to find out that locations often have meaning behind them. Like if we just casually read that, the prophet just strode along and went to Sidon. He went to Zarephath. Well, if you look at a map, you're going to find out that this is outside of the nation of Israel. It's actually north. It's in modern-day Syria, where some of you guys have been before. And he says, go to Zarephath. Can you say that? It's a weird word, Zarephath. This word, it means something very interesting. It means a refinery. It's actually like a place of testing where they would smelt the fire and the impurities for the metal and the gold and things like that. It's a place of testing. And so the prophet is called to go to this place of refining and dwell there. And he says, see, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Isn't that a twist? One who most likely could not provide for herself, God says, I have commanded her to provide for you. This man of God is asking this person who really doesn't probably have a relationship with God. She's outside of God's kingdom of Israel. And he's saying, I need you to go there and ask this woman to provide, or I've commanded her to provide for you. So he rose and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I might drink, or I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, this is like a good pastor, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. It's like Pastor Lance. Bring me some French fries when you come back. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son. Check this out. That we may eat it and die. Remember, they've been in famine. It has not rained. This is on the latter part of that 3.5 years where it has not rained. And if you don't have rain, you don't have crops. And if you don't have crops, you don't get wheat. And if you don't have wheat, you can't make flour. And if you don't have flour, you can't make what? You guys are geniuses. And so she just got a little bit. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you were basically down to nothing and you felt hopeless. And you think about this. This woman is not just a story. This is a real woman who really lived, who really went through these things. And let's be honest, if you are saying that you are about to die, hope is lost. Depression has set in, and faith that you may have had has all been but destroyed. And the fear of going without and the fear of not having was surrounding this widow. The thing about this widow is we don't really know much about her story. We don't know when her husband died. We don't know how she survived to this point. We know that you usually don't wake up and decide today's a good day to die. It's usually a gradual progression of things behind the scenes that normally you can't see. But wheels are spinning behind the scenes of people going through stuff. And now you got this man of God that comes on the scene and he wants to eat your last Twinkie. And she just said that everybody in the house was about to die. It's interesting. She was not a Hebrew. We know this. She did not share probably in the prophet's belief because she said, the Lord's your God, not my God, your God. And this is what Elijah says. He said, do not fear. This is in verse 13. Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it. Bring it to me and afterwards make some for yourself and your son. Remember the name of this place. It's called Zarephath. This is a place of testing. Now you think about this. This puts this very relevant to us today. All of us, each and every one, have been in a place of testing and refining. And we are all tested whether we're going to obey the word of God or not. It's very interesting that the prophet brings this word and this woman has a moment. And you may think and reason that, well, the Lord commanded her to do this. Well, he commanded you to do a lot of stuff you don't do either. There's Big Ten, and we mess up on those all the time. He's commanded us to do a lot of things. He commanded us to take care of widows and the orphans and to give. But it still comes down to the choice. See, the prophet asked her to take from the little that she has and give it to the man of God first. Y'all got super quiet. Baby's not even crying. Babies don't even like that word. I can only imagine how she was thinking that she had such a small amount that this man of God won't even allow her the grace to die with dignity. Let's read in verse 14, but it says, "For thus says the Lord God of Israel." Now, this is interesting. God already had provision before the problem. But he says, this is what Elisha said. He said, "The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of God. She decided to obey God's word. The man of God laid down, this is a promise from God. He will take care of you. But we still have that choice, don't we? In verse 16, it says, "The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah." Now, you may remember that when we first started with these verses in Luke chapter 4, this was the same story that Jesus spoke about earlier. And what's interesting about this is we never find out this lady's name. We don't know her last name. We don't really know a whole lot about her, but we hear about her story. And it may seem very insignificant. Why was that lady in the Bible? Why did Jesus talk about her later on in the New Testament? And it lets you know there's a big point here, is that your story is part of a bigger story. This woman did not understand that what she was going through was a part of God's grand scheme. And I don't know what you've been going through. I don't know your life. Some of you, we do. I don't know what else you're going through. I don't know some of the difficulties that you've had. But whatever it is a part of a bigger plan that God has. And when you obey God, God will take care of you. You got super quiet on that. Like, I don't know, Pastor. That's like taking my last Twinkie. I'm telling you that God will take care of you. God had a bigger plan for that woman's story that sometimes we don't even realize what's going on. You know, I want to tell you a story about my own life. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Ron talked about when he moved to Clarksville, Tennessee, and he had a significant amount of his retirement tied up into his house, and he had to sell his house, and he took a big loss on his house. Well, what you may not have realized is around that same time, my family and I, we moved a few months before Pastor Ron. And we had to sell our house, or we thought we had to sell our house. And again, this is right after the housing bubble collapsed. It happened right around the end part of 2008. Well, in 2010, it wasn't much better. And that's when we put our house on the market. And we didn't have money to lose. We couldn't give our house away then. I don't know if you tried to sell a house in 2008. It was not fun. And we dropped the price as much as we could, but we couldn't. Nobody was buying our house. We had two mortgages. We had a mortgage in Clarksville. Anybody ever been there? That is not a fun place to be. We had a mortgage here and a mortgage there. We're crying out to God what to do. And finally, we was like, well, we're going to have to rent it. We didn't know anything about renting. We heard the nightmare stories about people going in, wrecking your place, acting a fool, and just walking away. And so we were scared to death about what was going to happen. And there were some times when we started the rental process, we had nobody to rent it for months at a time. And you know what happens when you have a rental property with nobody to rent it out? You got to pay the mortgage. And the problem is, pastors don't make a lot of money. I know you see the big jets and stuff. We don't have jets. Nobody in Clarksville is giving us jet money. We got regular money. Regular money don't last long with two mortgages. And so we are crying out to God. We're in this position like, what are we going to do? We got money coming out over here. Money coming out over there. Why are you laughing at that? That's horrible. And we're like, God, what are you going to do? We're pastors. We're not supposed to live like this. People are watching. And there was one time that we prayed and we were expecting a check in the mail and it was supposed to be delivered in Clarksville. And it didn't come day after day after day. It was supposed to come on a certain day. 2 days later, it wasn't there. And now all the bills are due. It's like the song in your head starts ringing. What are you going to do? The bills are due. What are you going to do? The bills are due. It's like drum beats behind it, and you're like going crazy. Well, I ended up having to go to Murfreesboro and check on the house. And I don't know why, but as soon as I walked in the front door, there was this envelope behind the front door inside the house. And I opened it. This the check. And I'm like, I'm calling, baby, the check's here. And it was dated when we needed it. It was dated before we started crying out to God. God already had an answer. We had to trust him. We were freaking out, but he had a plan. And what does all this have to do with anything? It's that your plan, your story is part of God's larger story. Right now, the things that you were going through is part of God's larger story. Right here at Bethel Community Church. When you share your story, just like what I just did, when you share your story, there's somebody else that's going through the same thing that you were going through. And as part of the larger story, it gives faith to the church. Everybody say faith. When you struggle the way you've struggled and you survive the way you survive and you don't know how it happened, you're still standing. You're still here. And when you share that story, it brings faith to the church. And then when the world looks at the church, they're like, there must be a God. So your story is part of a bigger story to tell his story. Okay, let's say that again. Okay. Your story is part of a bigger story to tell his story. That's why you can't sit on your story. You can't sit on your story. So if you follow Christ, you're going to have victories. You're going to have struggles. But they all tell the story of us, the bride of Christ. And you know what's really cool about Jesus? He loves his bride. Good husband loves his bride. Sometimes I still call my wife my bride. If you look at my phone, I got a picture of that wedding dress that she looks so beautiful in. She's my bride. I love her. Well, Jesus loves his bride. Who's the bride? All of us dysfunctional Jesus freaks. Right? All y'all, all of us. And church down the road, they're part of the bride too. And he loves his bride. And when his bride responds in faith and obedience, it tells about Christ's love for the church. Somebody say amen to that. You know, guys, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I really believe that today. Or some of you have felt like that widow in Zarephath. Maybe you're in Zarephath now. For you, maybe exit one is Zarephath. Maybe your workplace is Zarephath. It's a place of refining. It's a place of testing where you have decisions to make. Where you can obey God or not obey God. But I'm telling you, if you choose to put God first, his word is secure. He will take care of you. It may not be pretty. It may not be the way you like it, but he will. And the main thing about God that is really amazing is he doesn't operate inside of time. The deadline for our bills was coming up and we were freaking out, but he already had the answer before we even prayed about it. He's the same God who can answer and step in to your world and to your life and to your situation. So Father, I thank you right now, God, for those that are here. So who of you guys, as your eyes are down, your heads are down, who of you are in a place of Zarephath now, a place of refining? Refining does not feel good. To get 24 karat gold, heat has to come. Impurities have to come off the top. Who of you are in that place right now of testing? You feel like that widow who feels all alone. You feel like you have no one to care for you. You feel rejected, maybe alone, isolated. People are looking at you. People are wondering how you're going to take care of things. What are you going to do next? I want to pray for you today. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that you have not left us, as your word says. You have not forsaken us. You've not left us alone. You've not turned your back on us, God. And though we are in a place of refining, it's your refining fire. You are the master refiner. You know what you're doing. Our story, God, is a part of your story. I pray that our eyes would get larger to see that This is all a part of bringing you glory, God. The story that we're walking through right now, the story that we're on the outside of, we may have just passed through the most difficult season of our lives. It's part of your larger story, of your great love. We pray today, God, that it would begin to tell your story of Christ's love for us.
But I agree. I just pray, God, that you would let great hope arise in us today. But I thank you that, in a sense, the last chapter, what has not been written, it's been written by you, but yet we don't know it yet. I pray today, Lord, that we would lean into you. God, we would lean into you like never before. God, I pray that we would, even as Evan, God, talked about earlier in our worship, we would open the door. We would say, God, come. Jesus, come. Let's just do that as we're sitting there. Let's just apply this message to our life. Let's just, in our own words, just maybe it's lifting our hands or just saying, Jesus, you're welcome here. Jesus, come. Jesus, you're the Prince of Peace. You're the one who brings hope, who brings joy, who brings confidence. Come. We want to open the door so that you can come in. Would you tell us that I stand at the door and knock? Or today we choose to open that door to you. We just say, Lord, have your way. It may not be the way we hoped it or the way we thought it was going to be, but God, you're great. Your mercy is real. Your plan is real. We want whatever hell that we have been through. Oh, this is it right here, friends. We want whatever hell that we have been through to be used to glorify you. God, this is what we desire. Yes, we wish it would have worked out differently. But our heart is to glorify you. Our heart is to honor you. Thank you. That's what faith really is. It's an opportunity to honor you in a way that we never could unless we've gone through that. So God, we open the door and we say, Jesus, we welcome you. We're here to glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God a big hand clap this morning. Guys, you can stand to your feet. Again, if this is your first time here, again, we're so glad that you were with us today. Pastor Richard and I want to invite you, if it's your first time, second time, or if you've never gotten a chance to meet Pastor Richard and I, we do a little thing called First Step. It's in the Global Cafe. It's just a chance to say hello, to meet and greet you just for a couple of moments as you're leaving out today. Guys, our prayer team's going to be standing down front. We believe in the power of prayer here at Bethel. Please allow us to come down front. Allow us to stand with you and to pray with you. God bless you guys. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday. You are dismissed.